or Virat Darshanam. Now we will go to the next chapter, the 12th chapter called Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, with that the second Shatka will be concluded, the Madhyama Shatka. So this chapter, you know, happens to be the last of the second section, the second Shatka of Bhagavad Gita. The first section has six chapters. The second section begins with the seventh chapter and goes up to the 12th chapter. And the third section, Gita, is from 13th chapter to 18th chapter. And we had seen that in the first section, Krishna had predominantly, he talked about karma. In the second section, bhakti or upasana is highlighted. So, and in the third section, jnanam is going to be highlighted. These are all quick summaries of each of the shatkas. And so in the second section, the topic has been Ishvara Bhakti or Upasana, which we have been seeing from the seventh chapter onwards. And to conclude the second section, Krishna talks elaborately about Bhakti in this 12th chapter. Bhakti has been the topic from the seventh chapter itself. And in the 12th chapter, all ideas are pooled together. It is systematically discussed in the 12th chapter. In the 7th chapter, we had already talked about bhakti. We should not think only it is talked about here. We already talked about bhakti in the 7th chapter. There we said that bhakti is not a particular sadhana, but it is different sadhanas according to the grade of the seeker. Bhakti will be different for a person of lowest grade, medium grade, or superior grade person. What are they? We divided into three categories of bhakti. And what are those three categories? In the first stage of bhakti, the sadhana that person practices is karma yoga. We can say that karma yoga is practiced by a beginner of spirituality. Then we may ask, in karma yoga, what bhakti is there? You are just doing only karma, right? But we say karma yoga also is bhakti, because in karma yoga, a person should dedicate all karmas to the Lord, all actions. How can that be done without bhakti? Because bhakti has not come. How can I dedicate all actions to Lord? Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyam adhyatma chetasa. Chapter 3, sloka 30. So the essence of karma yoga is given there, which involves Ishvara Arpana Buddhi of all karmas. And then again, whatever palam comes, benefit of the karma, result comes, one should not protest at all. Whatever result comes, don't protest it. You have no control on that. If the palam, even if it is totally against all my expectations, one should accept it as Ishvara Prasada. So do karma as Ishvara Arpana. And when it comes to receiving the result, take it as Ishvara Prasada. So, Karma Yoga also is a type of puja only. Yajnartat karmanaha anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. So, what is the first stage of bhakti? Karma Yoga. And once a person has practiced Karma Yoga sufficiently, then the mind becomes slowly withdrawn. Desire becomes less. The wandering mind becomes relatively quiet. Then for this seeker, again, bhakti is of a different nature that is prescribed, and that bhakti is called upasana. So after going through karma yoga, getting some chitta shuddhi, a person goes to a different grade of bhakti called upasana. So upasana also is bhakti, but prescribed at a higher grade, because the mind of this person is relatively quieter and it is withdrawn. Then in that case, we say, one need not physically act in the world. One can reduce the physical activity as much. On the other hand, one can engage more in mental activity, like manasa puja, manasa parayana, manasa japa, all those things a person can involve. And this is what? This also bhakti only. So karma yoga also is bhakti. Upasana also is bhakti, according to the grade of the student. Then once a person has crossed these two stages, that is karma yoga and upasana, a different type of bhakti is prescribed, and that bhakti is what? Vedanta vicharaha. Jnana yoga, jnana yoga lakshana bhaktihi. This becomes jnana yajnam, then on. So previously he did daiva yajnam, performing lot of rituals and karmas. Later he did what yajnam? His shama yajnam, upasana. That's what he was doing, mind control and all that. and finally one does jnana yajna in the form of vedanta vichara, inquiry into vedanta. This is the highest type of bhakti. And only after going through all these levels of bhakti or grades of bhakti, a person can be liberated. There is no shortcut. So karma yoga rupa bhakti, upasana rupa bhakti and jnana yoga rupa bhakti, all are needed. And only after going through all these levels of bhakti, a person can be liberated. How can we say so? Krishna himself said, udaraha sarva evaite jnani tu atmaiva mematam. He said in the 7th chapter, Arjuna, 4 types of bhaktas are there. But among all, jnani alone is the greatest bhakta. So if jnani is the greatest bhakta, then jnanam will be the greatest bhakti. Jnana will be the greatest bhakti. So, and all these grades of bhakti, Krishna will talk about in the 12th chapter. But we are now trying to give you a kind of an introduction to the 12th chapter, what to expect of this chapter. And this chapter is going to begin with a doubt, a question, doubt from Arjuna. And what is that doubt? It is based on the last shloka of the 11th chapter, the 55th shloka we just read. There Krishna said, Mat karma krit mat paramaha, mat bhaktaha, sarvasvarjit, sangavarjitaha, nirvairaha sarvabhuteshu, yahasa mameti pandava. That's what he said. So those who perform all actions, dedicating all actions to me, those who are my bhaktas, there Krishna used the word my bhakta, mat karma mat paramaha, mat bhaktaha, my bhakta. So what is the meaning of my bhakta there? There Krishna is talking as Vishwarupa Ishwara. You have to be careful here. Still Saguna Bhakti only, Vishwarupa Ishwaraha. 11th chapter is Vishwarupa Darshanam. And so this shloka emphasizes Vishwarupa Bhakti only. And Vishwarupa Bhakti comes under what? Saguna or Nirguna Upasana? Saguna Bhakti only. And then Krishna, he had said, such a person will attain moksha. So Krishna is trying to tell a person doing Saguna Bhakti will attain moksha. That is the statement of Krishna. He did not mention Vedanta at all yet. So by practicing Vishwarupa Bhakti or Saguna Bhakti, a person attains. Yaha saha mam yeti. Such a person attains me, moksha, Krishna has said. So it appears that moksha can be attained by Saguna Bhakti or Vishwarupa Bhakti. If that be the case, Nirguna Bhakti is necessary or not? Can we quietly skip it because it is inconvenient? Nirguna Bhakti is very inconvenient because I like to see the Lord in so many forms with all his beautiful, splendorous appearance. And so Arjuna's question is, Saguna Bhakti is superior or Nirguna Bhakti is superior? This is Arjuna's question. After the 11th chapter of the Gita, Krishna patiently answers here. Atadvadashodhyayaha bhakti yogaha arjuna uvacha evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasate evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasate echapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Here Arjuna enumerates Saguna Bhaktas and Nirguna Bhaktas. He asks the question, who is superior between Saguna Bhakta and Nirguna Bhakta? Who is superior? Tesham. Tesham means among those two. Ke yoga vittamaha. Who are superior yogis or sadhakas? Yoga vittamaha. Who are these two people? In the first line, he talks about Saguna Bhakta. Ye Bhaktaha Tvam Paryupasate. Those devotees, Ye Bhaktaha, who constantly worship you, Paryupasate, meditate upon you. Paryupasate means Paritaha Upasate, totally remain committed, constantly thinking of you. And the most important word here is Evam. Constantly think of you in this manner, Evam, Vishwarupam. Because he is just out of the Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. So in this manner refers to Vishwarupam as shown by you in the 11th chapter. So evam refers to Ekadasha Adhyaya Uktaha Prakarena Ye Upasate. That's what we should know. That is what? Kiritinam, Gadinam, Chakrahastam, all those things that was described earlier. Anadi, Madhyantam, so Ananta Viryam, Ananta Bahum, Sashi Surya Netram. So all those kinds of descriptions that was given in the Vishrupa Darshana Yoga in that manner. In short, Bhupada Vyasyanabhihi, you know, in the Dhyana Shloka and in Vishnu Sahasranama. The same kind of darshana. So, evam rupena ye paryupasate, those who worship, and that too how? Satata yuktaha, by constantly being committed to you. Yuktaha means, you know, by fixing. Satatam, satatam means constantly. Their mind is almost obsessed with your thought. So that means not only the conscious mind is in the Lord, but also the subconscious mind also is saturated with the Lord only. His vasanas are also Ishwaramayam alone. That is called Satata Yuktaha. This is the first category of devotees. Constantly committed to you and meditate upon you as Vishwarupa. And who are the second category of bhaktas? Yecha Aksharam. We have to supply Paryupasate here again. Echa Aksharam. Those people who constantly meditate upon Aksharam. Aksharam means the imperishable form of yours. The changeless form. And what is that form? Paraprakriti. If you remember these terms, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Asparsham, Agandam, Arasam. All that attributeless Lord. In short, the Nirgunam Brahma. And Aksharam also should be connected with Tvam. So, Aksharam, Tvam. Because we should remember that one and the same God has Sagunam and Nirguna Rupam. From the standpoint of Shariram, the Lord is Sagunam. From the standpoint of Shariri, the Lord is Nirguna. The Shariram, Shariri, all those terms you should be familiar by now. So, from the point of Anatma, body, he is Saguna. From the point of Atma, he is Nirguna. So from the standpoint of Aparaprakriti, Lord is Sagunaha. From that point of Paraprakriti, Lord is Nirguna. So not only Lord, we are also like that only. From the standpoint of body, we are Saguna. Whereas Deha Vetirittaha, Aham Atma is Nirguna. So Aksharam Tvam Pari Upasate, constantly they meditate upon you. So, in the case of Nirguna Ishvara, meditation is nothing but what? Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So, those people who practice the meditation of the Nirgunam Brahma you, which is Avyaktam. Avyaktam means unmanifest. Also means it's not clear. So, Asputam Ityartaha. So, Arjuna is wondering, how can a person think of a Nirgunam Brahma? I cannot think of a Nirguna Brahma because it has no attribute at all. It does not have a form, does not have a color, taste. It must be a very dry Brahma without any of them. Whereas in the Puranas, Sagunam is described in plenty, so much. Bhagavatam, there is one big verse describing the nail of Krishna. So much descriptions are given. Then other parts are described in several shlokas because they are all interesting. So, what is that to describe in a Nirguna Brahma? No nail, no toe, no lips, no head, no kiritam. So, Arjuna does not like it. So, he hints it indirectly. Avyaktam Aksharam. Ye Paryupasate Tesham Madhye. So, Tesham Madhye. So, Nirdharane Sati Bhakti actually. So, among these two sets of people, Ke Yoga Vittamaha, who are superior Bhaktas, Yoga Vittamaha, whom do you like more? Poor Krishna now is in trouble. So he has to answer. He has to tell between Saguna Bhakta and Nirguna Bhakta whom you think is superior. Shloka 2. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Maya Veshyamano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Maya Veshyamano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Teme Yuktata Mamataha Shraddhaya Parayopetaha Teme Yuktata Mamataha. Krishna, now he begins to answer the question. And what should be the answer actually? We must be able to know by ourselves. We don't have to wait for Krishna to answer. because we are supposed to be advanced students. We are coming to the end of the second shatka now. Our answer is that the question itself is wrong. When there is a wrong question, there cannot be a right answer. Because question is wrong. Since whatever answer one gives, it also will be wrong only. Because it's a wrong question. Suppose I ask, how many centimeters there in the weight of the desk? Whatever answer we give is wrong only. And if someone says 8 and another says 6, who is better between these two? I have to say only one thing, your question is wrong. Similarly, Saguna Bhakta is superior or Nirguna Bhakta is superior. The comparison itself should not be made, because comparison is possible only when there is a choice. For example, there are two routes, for example, to come to a particular place. We can ask the question, which route is better? Suppose one road takes to one place, the other road continues from there to whatever destination we are going to, then we have to take both the routes. We cannot ask which route is better. As where there is a choice, we can ask the question which is better. Where there is no choice, we cannot ask that question. For example, if I want to become a graduate, I can have a choice. I can become mathematics graduate, chemistry graduate, physics graduate. But if I ask the question whether BA is better than MBA is better or MA is better, I cannot compare, because I need BA to go to MA. But one question can be asked. If both are necessary, and if I don't know what level I am in, then I can ask the question, which level is better for me? Now, then I can ask that question. Then he will know whether I have already got graduate standard or not. If so, what is better for me? Post-graduation. Suppose if I don't have graduate standard at all, then for me, graduation alone is better. Now, but there is no uniform law for all the people. It is according to the grade of the person. This BA, MA, I just gave it for example. Similarly, we say Saguna Bhakti is necessary for all people in the beginning. They all need to have it. But Saguna Bhakti can never give moksha. Then why to do Saguna Bhakti at all if it cannot give me moksha? It is like everyone has to go through graduation, but it will not make a person a postgraduate. Only when you go through graduation, you will become fit for entering into postgraduation. Similarly, Saguna Bhakti is necessary for all. Still, Saguna Bhakti can never give liberation. We have to understand that clearly. Saguna Bhakti will make a person fit for what? For Nirguna Bhakti, Jnana Yoga. And Nirguna Bhakti will give liberation, which is the basic teaching here. So Saguna Bhakti will prepare a person. Nirguna Bhakti alone will give moksha. So a lot of confusion is there in this regard, and we have to understand this point very, very well. Saguna, Nirguna, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Hatha Yoga, all those things, they all lead to Rome. That is what normally all roads lead to Rome, kind of an attitude. All are not correct for going to moksha. All these roads, they are all fine, whether it's Saguna Upasana, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Patanjali Yoga, all of them, none of them can take you to moksha. So whatever may be the initial sadhana one has, all are saguna param only. They will all give us sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, will prepare us. Karma yoga, upasana, japa, pilgrimage, social service are all saguna bhakti only. Because in the saguna bhakti, we take the world as God, which is Vishwarupa only. And having got the sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, one should go to Nirguna Bhakti. And what is that? Vedanta, Shravana, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. That is Nirguna Bhakti. And through Nirguna Bhakti or Jnanam alone, moksha is possible. We say it every time, because even though I say it so many times, I am never tired of saying this, because people should never have a wrong understanding being in the Vedanta student that Saguna Bhakti will give moksha to anyone. So how do you emphasize that? So, Nanyapanta Ayanaya Vidyate. So, Veda said it very clear. There is no other marga other than this knowledge. సో తమేవం విద్వాన్ అమృతం ఇహ భవతి. ఓకే, అండ్ సో హీ కెనాట్ సే విచ్ ఇస్ బెటర్ బికాస్ బోత్ ఆర్ ఇన్ఎవిటబుల్. యూ నీడ్ టు గో త్రూ సగుణ భక్తి టు గెట్ ద ప్రిపరేషన్ అండ్ నిర్గుణ భక్తి టు గెట్ మోక్ష. సో ఇఫ్ వన్ వాంట్స్, వన్ క్యాన్ ఆస్క్ వన్ క్వశ్చన్, వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ బెటర్ ఫార్ మీ నౌ? దాట్ క్వశ్చన్ వన్ క్యాన్ ఆస్క్ డిపెండింగ్ ఆన్ వాట్ లెవెల్ ఐ యామ్. ఇఫ్ వన్ ఇస్ అ మంద మధ్యమ అధికారి, దెన్ ఐ క్యాన్ సే ప్రాక్టీస్ సగుణ, కర్మయోగ, ఉపాసన, జప. బట్ ఈవెన్ అస్ ఐ టెల్ ఐ విల్ వాంట్ దట్ పర్సన్ దాట్ యూ కెనాట్ రిమైన్ ఇన్ దట్ లైఫ్ ఫర్ లాంగ్. యూ హ్యావ్ టు కమ్ టు నిర్గుణ భక్తి ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ మోక్ష. ఇఫ్ నాట్ పునర్జన్మ బికమ్స్ ఎ మస్ట్. అండ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ప్రాక్టీస్ నిర్గుణ భక్తి అలోన్ ఇన్ సమ్ జన్మ ఆర్ ది అదర్ ఇఫ్ వన్ వాంట్స్ టు గెట్ మోక్ష. సో వాట్ ఈస్ ద అడ్వాంటేజ్ ఆఫ్ పోస్ట్పోనింగ్ టు ద నెక్స్ట్ జన్మ? దర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ బికాస్ ఆల్రెడీ వీ గాట్ అ హ్యూమన్ జన్మ. Why not use it right now? Therefore, one has to come out of that and come to Nirguna Bhakti. So there is no choice. There can be only one question, which is better for me now? But Arjuna does not ask it that way. He is asking which is better. But Krishna has to give some answer because he has already asked the question. And Krishna knows that Arjuna is not completely fit yet. And so he gives a mischievous answer, characteristic of Krishna. He says, Saguna Bhaktas are superior. And then he says, Nirguna Bhaktas get moksha. And this is how he is. Saguna Bhaktas are superior, but Nirguna Bhaktas get moksha. He does mischief in philosophy also. How will you interpret it then? Shankaracharya comes to our rescue. Now, who is a Saguna Bhakta? Ye mam upasate. They are those people who constantly meditate upon me. They worship me. How? Nitya yuktaha. By constantly thinking of me. How? Manaha mayi aveshya. By fixing their mind in me. Now, what is the meaning of this me? As we have already said, whenever Krishna says I or me, we should always find out what is the meaning. In Bhagavad Gita, it could be very tricky. Because sometimes Krishna talks as Mr. Krishna or Vasudeva Putraha, as a personal God. Sometimes he talks as Jagat Karanam, Vishnu, the Sarvavyapi Ishwaraha. He talks about that also. And sometimes he talks as the Nirgunam Parambrahma also. So wherever Krishna uses the word I, we should ask the question, what is the meaning of that I? Here it means Vishwarupa Mayi, Vishwarupe Mayi, because that is the context. So 11th chapter is all about Vishwarupam only, and so here it is the context. We are in the 12th chapter, 11th chapter is just concluded, so Vishwarupa chapter is concluded, so that is the context. So Upasate, that too with what attitude they do Upasana? Paraya Shraddhaya Upetaha, endowed with great Shraddha. Faith in me. They do upasana with great faith in me. So those who worship the Vishwarupa with great faith, te yuktatama mataha. They are the greatest devotees. Yuktatama, superlative. Greatest devotees are yogis. Yuktaha. Yuktaha means yogi. Tamaha is superlative degree. So yuktatamaha means greatest yogis. So now Shankaracharya has to interpret the shloka because this is not ultimately true. Because Saguna Bhakti cannot be said to be the greatest because he is not yet liberated. But at the same time, Krishna has said it. So just because Krishna has said, can we accept it? No. According to our tradition, let anyone say anything. If it is Veda Vihit Viruddham, if it is contrary to Vedas, it cannot be accepted. Veda is our Moola Grantha, the fundamental Pramana. And so, యత్ వేద విరుద్ధం తత్ బాహ్యం నా ఆదరణీయం. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ దాట్, దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ శంకరాస్ వ్యూ. కృష్ణ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అక్సెప్ట్స్ దిస్ వ్యూ. దట్ ఈస్ వై ఆఫన్ కృష్ణ కోట్స్ వేద ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఫర్ హిస్ సపోర్ట్ బికాస్ కృష్ణ నోస్ దాట్ ది వైదికాస్ విల్ నాట్ అక్సెప్ట్ కృష్ణ స్టేట్మెంట్స్ దెమ్సెల్ఫ్. వైదికాస్ ఆర్ దోస్ పీపుల్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఇన్ వేదాస్. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వేద విరుద్ధం, if it is contrary to Vedas, they won't accept it. That is why he says often, Vedas charvair అహమేవ వేద్యః ఇన్ 13th చాప్టర్ ఆల్సో వి విల్ సీ ఋషిభి బహుధా గీతం ఛందోభి వివిధై పృథక్ బ్రహ్మసూత్రపతైశ్చైవ హేతుమద్భిర్ వినిశ్చితై. అర్జున, యూ కెన్ అక్సెప్ట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ సే హ్యాస్ బీన్ సెడ్ బై రిషీస్. ఐఎమ్ నాట్ సేయింగ్ ఎనీథింగ్ మైసెల్ఫ్, ఐఎమ్ సేయింగ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ద రిషీస్ హ్యావ్ సెడ్, బికాస్ రిమెంబర్ గీత ఈజ్ ఎ స్మృతి గ్రంథ అండ్ వేద ఈజ్ శృతి గ్రంథ. వేద ఈజ్ అల్టిమేట్ ఫండమెంటల్, స్మృతి షుడ్ ఫాలో శృతి, స్మృతి కెనాట్ టాక్ ఇండిపెండెంట్లీ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ ఫిలాసఫీ. It has to talk about only what is given in the Vedas. So there is no Smriti philosophy at all, or Gita philosophy, or Krishna's philosophy for that matter, or Shankara's philosophy for that matter also. There is only one Vedic philosophy. That is fundamental. And so Shankaracharya interprets this sloka in keeping with the Vedic teaching. And how does he interpret? We can give three different meanings to the statement. Number one, you can take this statement as a Shruti Vakyam. Praising Shaguna Bhakta, Saguna Bhakta. Because in praise, you are allowed to be exaggerative. You know, when you praise somebody, you can exaggerate. No problem. For the sake of glorification, a little bit of Atishayokti is allowed. No problem. So here also, Krishna wants to encourage a Saguna Bhakta, even though it is not a factual statement that Saguna Bhakta is the greatest. So he wants to just praise him. That is one reason. Second interpretation can be, we take the student in this context. Here the student is not an Uttama Adhikari. He is not fully eligible yet. Arjuna happens to be a Madhyama Adhikari only here. So Krishna feels that Arjuna is fit for Saguna Bhakti only now. So in presence of Arjuna, Krishna glorifies Saguna Bhakti since Arjuna is fit for that only at present. Like what? Krishna glorifying Grahastashrama in Bhagavad Gita. That we saw earlier also. So in the Upanishad, Grahastashrama is not at all glorified. On the other hand, Sannyasashrama is glorified in the Upanishads. Sannyasa, Sannyasa Yoga is given as the greatest step, you know, regard in Vedas. సన్యాస యోగా దదిగే శుద్ధ సత్వాహ, దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ సెట్. సో న కర్మణ న ప్రజయ దానేన త్యాగేనైకే అమృతత్వమానశకో, ఓన్లీ త్రూ త్యాగ. సో ఎవ్రీవేర్ యు ఫైండ్ సన్యాసాశ్రమ ఇస్ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ బికాస్ ద ఉపనిషదిక్ స్టూడెంట్ వాస్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ క్యాలిబర్ దోస్ డేస్. సో సన్యాస ఈస్ బెస్ట్. బట్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత, సిన్స్ ద స్టూడెంట్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్, కృష్ణ ఆల్సో అడ్జస్ట్ అకార్డింగ్లీ హిస్ టీచింగ్. అండ్ హీ ఆల్సో సేస్ తయోస్తు కర్మ సన్యాసాత్ కర్మయోగో విశిష్యతే, గృహస్థాశ్రమ ఇస్ బెటర్. సో దట్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ సెడ్. అండ్ సిమిలర్లీ హియర్ ఆల్సో, అర్జున బీయింగ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ క్యాలిబర్, కృష్ణ ప్రైసెస్ సగుణ భక్తి. దిస్ ఈస్ ద సెకండ్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్. అండ్ ద థర్డ్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్ కుడ్ బి శంకరాస్ మిస్చివస్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్. హీ సేస్ సగుణ భక్త ఈస్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ భక్త, ఇట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ ఓన్లీ హీ సేస్ బికాస్ Nirguna Bhakta is not a devotee of Lord at all. This is what Shankaracharya says. Nirguna Bhakta is not a devotee of the Lord at all. Then what is he? Nirguna Bhakta is Lord himself. He is not a devotee of the Lord. He is Lord himself. So because he has reached Advaita Avastha, and so there is no devotee-devoted difference at all there. So Shankaracharya, he quotes the 7th chapter where the Lord says, Jnani tu atmaiva me matam. We already saw that. Jnani Bhakta is not my devotee, but Jnani Bhakta is myself. So among devotees, Saguna Bhakta is the greatest. Among devotees. But Jnani Bhakta is not a Bhakta at all. Jnani does not come under devotee list. He is the Lord himself. Swamiji used to give an anecdote when it was in the Birbal. In the story of Birbal, he was asked to justify how Yamuna was the greatest river. Birbal was asked this question, how Yamuna is the greatest river? When Ganga is there, how can anyone say Yamuna is the greatest? Birbal said, that is true. Because the question is, among the rivers, which is greatest? Who can call Ganga a river? River is a flow of water. Ganga is not water, it is Amritam itself. And so, Ganga being Amritadhara, it does not come under river category at all. Similarly, here also Krishna says, who said Jnani is a Bhakta? He is not a Bhakta at all. He is Ishvara himself. Anyway, whatever interpretation we take, the main idea must be clear. Neither Saguna Bhakta is great, nor Nirguna Bhakta. Both are great in its own place. We cannot compare both of them. For a beginner, Saguna Bhakti is proper. And for the advanced, Nirguna Bhakti is proper. There is no question of comparison between